going to preach just what do we see in East Texas right yet? We have last week I was able through advanced technology to listen to Tina's message on in the hills of the Sierras of the tribal areas of Mexico. And I got to hear her say, we're glad to have two families to join us. And they raised their hands. Well, today, Aaron and Gina are coming. They're going to do more than raise their hands. They want to just kind of introduce them to you. Come on. And Aaron came from as a Teen Challenge graduate to our school and finished it. And then he went off and found this girl and came back with her. And we sent him to Romania and...
Well, it is certainly a blessing, a privilege for us to be here. I don't just say that because that's kind of a neat little thing to say. I mean, it really is. It's an honor for us to be here with you all here this morning. And not just to be here visiting, but to be moving back here to be a part of this body and this fellowship. It's been probably over 15 years. At least 10 years since we've been a part of this fellowship on a regular basis. And during that time, we have been a part of many other churches. And I just want to encourage you all that you have something very special here. And it is a godly fellowship. It is the Spirit at work, whether it's just different parts of the body and different members just stepping up and fulfilling their call and their role. It's quite honestly, you just don't see that a lot nowadays in a biblical way. And so, yeah, it is. It's a privilege for us to be here, and we look forward to this next season of our lives, being here, serving with you all, getting to know you all, and being in fellowship with you all. And even this morning, the Lord began to speak some things to me last night, just as I was meditating on putting some thoughts together to share. And already, just even in this morning's service, it's just everything that God was speaking to me last night. And so it's just a testimony. It's an encouragement for us. It's confirmation that we are right where the Lord would have us to be. And we just praise Him. We thank Him. You know, we arrived... it's all been a blur, I think, a little over a week ago, and it's been extremely busy, but one of the things over this past week has just been the love of God that has been shown to us from each and every one of, most of all of you sitting here, in just different ways, you know. It was like things that would need to be done. It was like sometimes we just didn't even have to say them, and people would just show up and do them, and it was just the body at work, and it just ministered to us the love of God, and it was a real encouragement for us. I was about 3.5 years ago. We were sitting in Romania in the home we were living in, and we had some of the youth there in the living room, and they were just visiting. One of my daughters had just gotten out of the bath, and she came downstairs in her pajamas, her hair still wet, and I think my wife was in the kitchen, and I just began to brush her hair, and the room was a little bit quiet, and I kind of noticeably looked up, and I saw a few of the youth just sitting there with their mouths kind of open, and it was just this moment of, like, did I say something wrong? What happened? Did I miss it? And they said that we've never physically seen a father brush their daughter's hair, and it was really in that moment that we realized. And then Jacob Hobson and I had a conversation about this later, is that there are so many teachers, there are so many people out there giving people the Word of God. Sometimes it's a lesser form of the Word of God, but there are plenty of people out there with things to say. And Paul, as he told the Corinthians, he said, you know, you're going to have no shortage of these people. He said, but there's not many fathers among you. And one of the things that we appreciate so much about this fellowship is that there are fathers. I can look around and I can just see people, spiritual mothers and fathers. And that's really what brought us back here. After our time in Romania, we moved back home to be closer to our physical family and kind of make up some time there because we'd been gone away. And probably after about 2 years, we kind of just realized that this is not our home. This is not where our heart is. Our heart is with these spiritual mothers and fathers that God has placed in our life. And we just began to pray and say, God, what would you have us to do? And the Lord's faithful. I mean, you offer yourself to him as a living sacrifice, and he'll take it, and he'll tell you what to do, and he'll lead you and guide you. And so that's really kind of what's brought us back down here for this next season. We don't necessarily have preconceived ideas of what that might look like, other than to just really offer ourselves back and say, okay, God, just do with it what you would do. And I know even in saying that there's going to be some challenges and struggles along the way, but God's faithful. God's faithful. And we would rather, this is the only place we'd rather be. So we're just thankful.
God bless you. Okay, come on. Don't jump down. I was thinking about a 6 o'clock breakfast out here at, where was it? Bill Cook at Cracker Barrel. And Philip was there with us, and we were headed to Romania. And all of a sudden, Aaron said, I want to go. And he went. Yes. So welcome back, guys. We're so glad to have you this morning. Well, we're going to continue with our presentation this morning. It's my lovely wife.
Good morning, family. It is so good to be back with you. I will have to say that we missed the other part of our family there in Tulancingo this morning. We left 11 students over there to continue the work that we started these past 2 weeks. It's a tremendous time, and we do have 3 students here this morning who are going to give you a word in a few minutes. But we actually, you know, if you've been to Mexico at all, well, we feel like we've been to a far country, a faraway land, but God used each one of us in a special way. And Joe and I were just so absolutely thrilled. And I'm going to tell you this. You should be so proud of these students. They worked. I mean, they didn't just work like rake and mow and some of the things that we have to do. They worked. And so, and it wasn't easy. It was all rocks that they were trying. We're building a church and trying to get the rocks where we can lay the foundation. Well, that's still going on, because the rocks are pretty hard. But anyway, then they'll share that with you later on. But we're so grateful how that we saw God move by his Holy Spirit on each one of them. Never did we hear a complaint. Never did they say, I'm too tired to go to work today. But they were so happy to get up and go with us and spend the day working and so forth. So this morning, I'm going to have Kim to come on up. I'll tell you a little bit about Kim. When she says she wanted, come on up, babe. When she says she wanted to go to Mexico with us, I thought, well, she'll be great, but I know she's had some surgeries on her arm and so forth, but she can help us do a little few things. I saw this young lady get out, and I was always having to say, Kim, be careful, because she would pick up these big stone blocks and take them over. Or I see her carrying water and with the broken arm and a good arm, and she never complained. And I'm going to let her share with you what the Lord's put on her heart.
I'd like to thank everybody for praying, and I'd like to share 2 things. First, the prayers that were answered, and it just was, it was when we started out flying to Mexico. We got 30 minutes from landing in Mexico City, and the pilot came on and said, you know, we can't land because the volcano had gone off and the wind had blown the ash into the over Mexico City. So they diverted us to this really tiny little airport about 2 hours away. And it was such a blessing, because I saw how the Lord was answering y'all prayers, because there was one custom man in there, and there were other plane loads of people too. So there was like 4 or 5 plane loads of people. And so the one custom man, and we were able to get off our plane, go through customs very, very quickly. And we got onto a bus and bused across Mexico, which was a blessing because we got to see some Mexico. And we got into Mexico City late at night, and none of our luggage got lost, and nobody had any problems. So thank you for your prayers. The other thing I want to quickly share that really, and I hope it ministers to someone here or listening, because it really, really ministered to me, was one morning we got up, and Pastor Joe and Joel, the pastor down there, said, we're going to go visit a young man in a rehabilitation center, and his name was Irving. And I didn't know what to expect, and our team went up to visit this young man. And about 4 years ago, Jason and the team had gone down to Tuancingo, and Jason had preached, and this young man named Irving, who was about 25, accepted the Lord in his heart. And he was being used of God mightily down there. He was a rap artist and went into prisons rapping and was doing well. But I want to read a scripture first before I tell the end of the story. And it's in Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. And this young man took his eyes off the Lord for just a minute, just glanced away, and he fell back in, and he got into some bad drugs, and his mind is gone. It shot his mind. And now he walks in a little rehabilitation center, talking to himself, saying nothing but moving his fingers. And so his name's Irving, and I just keep him in your prayers. But it was just testifying how we need to just be crying out to the Lord and keeping our eyes on him every second, and not look away and not turn our gaze away from him.
Irving had reached a point that he was even making cassette tapes and was very popular, but we're going to keep praying for him. We have a young man this morning named Michael, and Michael was one of these that can do anything. Isn't it good when you have someone someone says, now I need someone to go and put down some carpet. I need someone to go and paint. I need someone to do this. And Michael says, I can. Well, he actually, the last thing he got to do, are you going to tell it? Or can I tell it? I can tell it better. Okay. He was so cute. We had 2 outdoor toilets, that's what they're called. And so we were going to, the girls painted the toilets. It was pink and blue, but ended up being like green like her, or green and orange like, we were wearing this morning, all this orange. So the men's were turquoise and the women's was orange. And so then the pastor said, you know what? I've got some leftover ceramic tile. Now, we're the only ones who would ever go to an outdoor toilet and paint it so beautiful inside and out, and then lay tile all over the floor for the toilets. So he was the one that volunteered to lay the tile without any tools except for a pair of pliers to cut it with, and so forth. And so he was the one that did what?
And we had a real commode.
Oh, that's right. Oh, and we had a real commode on the outdoor toilet. Isn't that awesome?
Bienvenidos.
Welcome, everyone.
Bendiciones, hermanos y hermanas.
Blessings to you, brothers and sisters.
Cuando llegué yo a México,
when I arrived in Mexico,
empecé a reconocer la diferente cultura comparado con Texas.
I began to recognize a new and different culture compared to Texas.
Llegué con expectativas por un cambio en mi corazón.
I arrived with expectations that changed in my heart.
Very experimentar el amor de Dios
para, I wanted to see and to experience the love of God
para la cultura diferente,
for the different culture
en los Estados Unidos,
than the United States.
Yo creo a ciencia cierta.
I believe in the certain truth, knowledge.
En el Dios creador.
In our God and creator.
Hermosas personas, hermosas culturas.
Beautiful people, beautiful culture.
En todo el mundo.
In all the world.
Vine con deseo de conocer el corazón de Dios.
I came with the desire to get to know the heart of God.
En Tulancingo.
In Tulancingo. Amen. And he was a good Spanish student.
And I believe that, you know, I went with expectations on what the Lord wanted to speak to me about, what the Lord wanted to show me about. Because, like, I've been to Reynosa twice, and it's Tulancingo is nothing in comparison to Reynosa or vice versa. And just seeing the heart of God, because I'm mission-minded, because my desire is to serve the Lord and wherever he's leading me. And just to go to a different culture, to a different place in the world, and just to be able to experience, to witness, and to be a part of the love of God in a different culture, just to see how the Lord is moving in that culture, how the Lord is moving, how he's working in families in that community, and we look, we're a lot of us, most of us, I don't know how many people in this church have never been out of the country, but when you go to a whole different culture. And we were placed each two people at a time to per family. So we were pretty much dropped into a culture where we were living with a family, where we were striving and desiring to communicate more with our family so we can learn more, we can learn about them, and just it was just an experience that I'll never forget. It's a life changing experience. The families don't speak any English. And so that's really what impacted me the most, is really being able to see the love of God in a different place in the world. And knowing that our God is that great, that our God is that good, that he's that powerful, and that he has a love. And one of the things, if I have my camera, I'd show you this picture of Mexico City from the air. And if you can imagine 30 million people just in that area, and then people all around the world. And there are churches and cultures all around the world that the Lord cares individually about each person. In each culture. And so if you guys ever get a chance to go to Tulancingo, we encourage you. You may never want to come back.
We had a young man that went with us also. And everybody say Jimmy. Well, that's what it is in English. But he's known now as Jaime. Jaime. So here's Jaime. And Jimmy is another one of these that I know Jimmy has some physical problems here and there. Not only mentally, but here and there. I'm getting out of the way of him. But the Lord used him, and he too never turned back. He worked on the hardest job there was, of trying to break through the rocks with these picks, and the handles kept breaking. And so forth, but he never turned back and he never complained. So here's Jimmy. Hi, me.
Thank you. Me llamo Jaime. Hola, Iglesia, Viva, Esperanza.
He was trying to say Church of Living Hope.
Oh, wow. That's why I work with the kids. I don't know. You know, I wrestled with this whole thing for a long time, you know, and for me it's really amazing because week in and week out, you know, I hear the word of God and it goes through, and God gives me assignments, and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that one, you know. And, you know, but even if I say I don't hear from God, I still hear from God because I hear the word of God week in and week out. The mission trip to Tulancingo, oh, wow. It was really amazing. You know, I don't want to be one of those guys because I know Pastor Joe don't like to be lifted up or nothing like that, but, you know, deep inside me, you know, he's been a spiritual father, even though my mom and dad are still living, you know, and like Mama Charlotte said, you know, I'm kind of mentally out of there, but they have definitely been, you know, parents to me. You know, sometimes Joe can be hard on me, and then Charlotte soften it, and I'll be like, okay, I think I can hang in there a little while longer. But in Tulancingo, it was amazing. It was hard work. It really was. And man, my back was out of it. Me and Joe, we both were limping. And then they put him in the wheelchair, and I'm limping and pushing him. So it was wild. But at Tulancingo, I saw men and women and children who were given assignments, you know, just as God has given me assignments from God. And they did this work with pleasure and honor. And it was like that when they did the work, they did with anticipation of getting the next assignment, you know, to bring glory and honor to God. And it just blew me away. And they were just like on one accord. And, you know, sometimes me and the guys would be in there talking, and I'd be seeing these little niños, and niños means kids, you know, coming there and bowing down at the altar and praying. And I'm telling Garrett, shh, shh, shh. He said, what's wrong? It's me, they're over there praying, you know. You know, when I talked, I made mention that, you know, I didn't see a lot of difference, you know, besides those who were saved and those who were not saved, and that we were all kingdom people. And, you know, it's really amazing how God has sent us over there, you know, to be your witnesses among that community over there, to join in with Pastor Joel, which is an awesome man in himself. But I seen these people, you know, giving these assignments without hesitation and just going with it, you know, throughout the community, through the church, you know, and I just encourage you all, you know, let's just hang in there and, you know, continue to help Brother Joe. I wouldn't care if it's money. I mean, these people don't even have no money, and they were still getting up, just dropping a peso in there. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll go too, you know. So it was really awesome. My last word, I saw a picture, and I was thinking about Peter in Luke chapter 5. No, Pastor Joe, I'm not going to preach. You know, Jesus was, you know, he came on the scene and he told Peter, you know, to take his net and put it on the other side because Peter had been working hard, you know, all night trying to catch nothing and not catching nothing. And, you know, I began to have this vision about this church. And when Christ began to, you know, when Peter began to pitch his net over to the other side into the deep, I began to see a vision about what I saw in Tulancingo. And I saw this church and the people helping one another. And they took their net also because, you know, they're building orphanage, you know, for the children, which where we were working at. You know, they got in mind this little church that they're getting established for women, whether on drugs or prostitution or whatever. I mean, and this net, you know, that I'm seeing is going into the deep, you know, to bring these people out of darkness, you know, even as it myself once was. And I see how they were helping one another and pulling a load, building and cleaning and praying and singing and giving their money to God with pleasure, you know. And Pastor Orwell, he's just smiling like he already see God at work doing it. And, you know, that's how we as the church are supposed to see, at, you know, with the Church of Living Hope, Adopt a Block, or whatever, see God already, you know, going before us and us falling behind to bring about this division that we have here. And as I close, I just ask you guys, men and women, to continue to keep our brothers over there in prayer, because they are really working hard. There is no machine. We are the machines. So I love y'all. Thank you. God bless you.
One last thing I would like to say is that I don't feel too bad about coming on home, because along about the last few days that we were there, actually we began to see the neighbors come down, and, you know, they had watched us for a week and a half, wondering what all we're doing and so forth. But they began to come down and get those pigs and help us on some of the building. So I know with us gone, they're going to come on in and take our places. So that's awesome. One last thing I'd like to say. This is a special day for me and Joe because we have our daughter in love back here and two grandchildren and two great-grandchildren here from Austin, Texas. So we're so glad they've just made our day. We love you, Dia.
Thank you, babe. One other thing about the toilet. Garrett drew the little man sign on the pink and on the blue. And the last thing he was doing was writing hombres and damas. So it is the only one in the world like that. Here's one other testimony from Brian Brocklehurst. Hello, family. Things are great. I just wanted to share a short testimony. Many times when Patrick has come back from a mission, he shared about feeling the prayers of those back home. I understood this and believed it, but can now say I have experienced it. I have been digging a hole for a cistern at the, that's different than a brethren, at a small church, and twice I can say in the midst of this extremely hard work, I was encouraged in knowing that back home, y'all are praying for us. I could literally feel the prayers. Thank you all for all that have been praying, Brian Brocklehurst. Amen. It's called Loma Bonita, and that's an area out there that several years ago, about 4 years ago maybe, a group from Church of Living Hope went down there, and we spent 6 days, and when we left, we had a little church with a roof on it and dedicated it to the Lord. It's been sitting there. The youth went back and started on that outdoor toilet and put some tile on the floors of the church. And then as we went this time, we were able, from Faith Promise, thank you all who have been part of this Faith Promise, show you where it's going. We were able to take $2,000, and then from our school fund, we were able to take $2,000 more. And when we took it in and gave it to Pastor Hoel, he said that now we're able to finish 4 new rooms. And what's going to happen very quickly is that this is going to be what is called a guardería, which is more like a daycare center for single moms who have to work to bring their children, and we'll care for them. And you know what will happen? We'll get to have a relationship with those families, and God will bring them into the church. As we went there, we began to talk with Hoel about Acasochitlan. You don't have to learn how to say it. But it's a tribal village that Edward Mauricio had lived at this place. And he had a desire. I think we sent quite a bit of money for some of those bricks. And over a period of years, he had built this center. They call it the base, the missions base. It was actually to be a tribal training center for these young tribal kids that would come, and they came. And he had classrooms, and knowing Edward, he had schedules from morning to night, and he worked them to death and taught the Bible and everything, and at Christmas gave them a break, and none of them came back. It just wasn't right for the culture to have the kids away from home that long. And so we still need to train pastors. And so Pastor Willie from down at the Hidalgo Church, when I met him, he didn't know anything about missions. He didn't even like to go across to Mexico. But we invited him to come down to a conference, and he fell in love with that area. And then he got a vision to train the pastors. And he would go down every 3 months, and he would bring the pastors in, not in a house like this, but he would bring them in. And he would, over a period of dawn to dusk and night, he would teach them and come back 3 months later and carry it on further till he got them what we would consider fully trained. So that was really the right way to do it. And then Edward would stay at this house some when he was down in that area. But really, it was just sitting there. And, of course, Edward died over a year ago. And so the next day after the funeral, that morning, Rachel, his wife, called me and said, Joe, I need to talk with you. And I went over, and she said, right before Edward died, he said, I want you to sell that place. I want you to give Joe Foss 20% of it and pay the house that you're living in off so you will have a house to live in. Well, of course, when she said that, I knew that I would never take any money out of Mexico. It would be for the purpose of the work there. But she still owes about $10,000 on her house. Several people have helped her and so on. And she thought this would be worth about $60,000, but where it's at without any really utilities, it just would not sell for that. But as I talked with Pastor Joel, he said, Joe, I've got a vision for this place. He said, I want to put basically a teen challenge type place there for men, for drug problems, for people with alcohol addictions, and said, I've got it all figured out. Said, the land there is very fertile. We can grow crops. We can raise things. We can eat from it. We can sell it. Said, my son has a carpinteria. He is woodworking. Said, we can train the men to work. They can go out and sell these things. And so he had a vision for that. And as we took everybody one day over there and we walked in, and here we are opening it up again, and we went through it, and we took pictures of all of the things on the walls that Edward had left and so on. I'm going to give it to his wife. And as the vision just continued to grow, and I believe that this place that you see right here is going to be called the Mauricio de Savillo de Esperanza, which means the Mauricio House of Hope, Challenge of Hope. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but we somehow are going to pay her house off and give her the funds that are necessary to make sure that she is taken care of. And this is going to be a well that is so deep we can't fill it. We'll be sending people down there to work in that place for several months. We'll be sending people down there to work on the property. And some of you will be going just like that. And it's about 40 minutes from Tulancingo into the mountains. And I really believe it. Then we saw another house. There's a vision for women to do the same thing right there. But riding back that day, the Lord dropped this message into my heart. And I want to share it with you. I'll try to be as brief as possible this morning. I know we've had several things happening today, but this is a message that God dropped in my heart. You see, I'm going to make a startling statement here. Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews 11. Did you know that? And Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. Old Testament men and women of God who walked in faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms. You know, we've been talking about hard work and opposition. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains of imprisonment. And then Hebrews 12, chapter 1, we go to 12 now. Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us or ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want you to just let that get in your spirit, the race that is set before us. At Edward's funeral on the casket, it said, ha acabado la carrera. He has finished the race. And it is a race that is set before us. But how do you do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think you've heard that twice this morning. So what the Lord put in my heart was this. Our God goes before us. And maybe we didn't understand at the time what that building would become. But you see, our God goes before us. God sent Joseph ahead of his brethren, ahead of his brothers. He sent them ahead to prepare for their deliverance. Our God goes before us. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, and the Lord went before them. Get that. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and by night. What did it say? And the Lord went before them. Our God goes before us. Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. the cloud and the glory. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. Why? Because the Lord goes before us. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. They did not make a move when they knew that their guidance was not saying move, that it was saying stay. It was the journey was there, but when it began to move, it was time to move. Our God goes before us. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day and fire over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel and throughout all their journeys. So these were a blessed people that God had prepared with miracles and manna and guidance and deliverance from Egypt and all of these things. But when Moses was on the mountain, things began to happen. The rumor started that he was dead. And they said, what is going to happen to us now? And we won't have his God. We got to create our own gods. And Exodus 32, verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. He cast the Ten Commandments, the tablets, out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, why did this people do to you that you've brought such a great sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. He blamed it on them. For they said, make us gods, small G-O-D-S, make us gods that shall go before us. You see, there's two ways of getting your direction. It's from the God of this world, the gods that you create, or from the wonderful God that goes before us. This man Moses, he brought us out of the land. We didn't know what would become of him. I said to them, whoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. I cast it in the fire. And this calf came out. And so there's two ways of realizing that our God goes before us, and he's a God that gives direction. He's a God of vision. He's a God that sees those lost souls in New Mexico. He's a God that sees those drug addicts and alcoholics in Tulancingo. He's a God that sees those people that are going to go to prison. We're now having people come to Calvary Commission from prison that weren't even born yet when God put the vision in our hearts. He sent us ahead to plan for their deliverance. And he set this church in order to be a family of God waiting for them when they came forth. Because our God goes before us. You see, we're not to say, make us gods that will go before us. But we're to say, let's go after the will of God. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Another example. Joshua rose early in the morning. What had happened? Said, Moses is dead. There's times we have to face reality. We have to face reality and we have to go on in spite of the difficulty that was there. And Moses had died and Joshua was raised up. And he set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel. And he had lodged there before they crossed over. Listen. The God that went before them said, you will go to the promised land. There's a scripture that says, we will go to the other side. We will go to the other side. Regardless of difficulty, regardless of all of the oppression or the work of the enemy of destruction to try to keep it from happening, we will go to the other side. When God put the vision in my heart, the first thing a guy told me is, Joe, it will not work. I looked right at him. I said, it is working. Why? Because our God goes before us. And he had already shown me that there was enough evidence there through the power of the blood of Calvary that God could take people and change their lives and put them on the mission field through the Great Commission that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so he goes before us. He said, So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. When you see the Ark moving, then you go after it. Yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it. You know, we need to have the fear of God. I cannot fathom people mocking God and living against God with the power of God that would be there. We sang a little song in children's church when I was growing up. He sees all you do and hears what you say. My God is watching all the time, time, time. He sees all you do and he hears all you say. My God is watching all the time. And I grew up knowing that I might hide it from my mother, but I wouldn't hide it from God. And he reveals truth. He brings that darkness into light and exposes it. And, you know, they said, don't even touch that ark. Don't go near that ark. You stay back behind it. It says, for you have not passed this way before. I believe there's people here this morning that are going to deal with things this week that you've never dealt with before. You've never passed that way before. But if we know that our God goes before us, then we can have confidence in the will of God and the plan of God and the vision of God for our lives that would be there. Set out your place, it says, and go after it. So let's go after the will of God. Sanctify yourselves, he says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hasn't he done wonders among us? Can you stop for a moment and say, Lord, I thank you for what you have done in my life. I thank you, Lord, that you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. I thank you, Lord, that you have given guidance, that way up ahead I see that light, I see that cloud, and I know that I can follow you. Take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. A missionary statesman said this, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You see, we haven't seen anything yet of what God's wanting to do. We're to be a kingdom-minded people that are able to say, Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done, and I'll be part of that kingdom on earth. And that's us. That's the body. That's us. Bring your kingdom inside of us, even as it is in heaven, and that we will be able to see those things come to pass. I truly believe that God went before us to Lansingo. Way back when Brother Edward Mauricio, that couldn't care less today what we do with that house. We're going to honor him, but he couldn't care less because he's enjoying heaven today. He's enjoying heaven. But there was a time that he met this pastor named Joel, endeavoring to do work for God, and God molded us into it. You ever heard of a Magic Jack phone? Well, they hadn't heard of it either, but I took one down there. And last night, I told him he could call me every day. He's going to do it. He called me last night. He has to just call 903-316-3801, and it rings right there in my phone, and I pick it up. How are you doing today? Well, I'm doing fine. But see, God molded us together, and we're part of his life. We're part of his family, part of his ministry. And this story could be told about many other places in the world that God has gone before us, and he's given us that divine connection with people, and he has brought things about that are for his kingdom, for his glory. And I want to tell you one more thing. God has gone before us at Church of Living Hope. We were faithful in a little building on Irwin Street. We were faithful at the castle with no heat and no air. We were faithful over here at the Activity Center that's now a clinic on another Irwin Street property. We were faithful when we had no place and people drove all the way from White House to Lindale so they could keep coming to this church. And then God went before us. We used to pass by this place every Sunday morning. Brother Jerry would be driving. He'd reach out his hand, Lord, give us that. And I thought, oh, he won't do that. But he did. He went before us. He went before us. And we own every bit of grass on this property. We own every bit of land. There's no money that's owed on any of this because God went before us. So I ask you today, where is your trust? And which God are you following today? What God are you following? You following the God of success, the God of money, the God seeking a reward, the God that just appeases your flesh? Are you following the true God that is able to take your life and mold it and make it into something beautiful for Him? You see, He's the alfarero. He's the potter, and we're the clay. And He takes us and He molds us and He makes us to where that we will be that one that can do a work for Him. I tell you, I'm so proud of that team that our school has produced. These sophomore students that will receive their associate's degree in just a few weeks when they get back at our conference. And there they are. Not one bit of trouble did we have. They're eager and ready to do anything. They're learning Spanish like crazy. And they're preparing themselves to be missionaries. You know, that song says, Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary. I said, Lord, prepare us to be a missionary. And that we can go forth, whether it's local or global, we call it glocal. And that we can do that work for the Lord in this place and around the world that He gives. You see, we can do it if we will keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross for us. We were on the plane yesterday, and I said, Charlotte, come on, help me out. This is an old song. We're not going to sing it. You wouldn't want us to do that. But here's what it says. It's called Living by Faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows or sunshine or rain. I know my Lord ruleth o'er everything, and all my worries are vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, abiding in His great love. From all harm safe, from the perilous storm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. How many have ever heard that song? 3, 4, 5. Okay, I understood. But it's true. It says, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows or sunshine or rain. I know my Lord ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries are vain. Living by faith. How? In Jesus above. How? Trusting, abiding in His great love. He'll lift you up and never let you down. From all harm safe. From the perilous storm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just wanted to impart what God put in my heart as I drove away from that house, that this is another step we can pioneer again. We can reach out because the Lord has gone before us. And we, he says a scripture, now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Know what He says? He has called us, and that calling is beyond anything that we could comprehend. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that our God has prepared for us, for those who love Him, and He goes before us. So why would we worry? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Why don't you stand with me as I pray? Lord, we don't know what next week will bring. We don't know what next year will bring. We don't know what is going to happen to the world as judgment comes upon it. But Lord, we know that we're going to be that people, that remnant of people that are going to be faithful to You, because You go before us and You prepare the way, and You're able to let us know that our God reigns. Our God reigns. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Yes, Lord. Touch each person here today, Lord. Let us experience a new dimension of faith. Let us have, God, a faith that rises up in our hearts and says, whatever You're worried about, I've got it. I've got it. I'm taking care of it. Because You have gone before us to prepare the way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah to God.